they're preparing to go into the promised land, preparing to go into the land of Canaan. How many know the promised land is not always as easy to go into as you think it is? Because you have all kinds of troublemakers, amen. Not the least of which is me and you, amen. Because you have a lot of resistance to the promises of God and the ways that God moves, amen. You have a lot of resistance. Anybody ever found that to be true? You look in the mirror, and you seem to have a lot of resistance to what God wants to do. Well, I wish this whole country would straighten out. Well, you know, God's still working on me. He's still working on me, isn't he? Because of what I just talked about a minute ago, is that you have authority over sin. Do you know that? Amen. He said, sin shall not. Romans chapter 6, verse 11. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Everybody say that with me. Sin shall not have dominion over me. Amen. So you tell yourself that every morning. Sin shall not have dominion over me. Because it says like it does over in Psalm 103, bless the Lord. Who? Who's he talking to? Bless the Lord, O my soul. So who are you talking to? He's talking to you. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So you could be standing in front of a mirror. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. You basically preach to yourself. Amen. You do. You preach to yourself. You tell yourself the truth. Amen. You speak to yourself. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Amen. Not making complaint in your heart to the Lord. Dear God, how come this is still happening? Well, because you believed a lie. See, most sin and most problems come about because of unbelief. Amen. Most trouble in your life comes around because of unbelief. Now, he says, in the world you're going to have trouble. Well, of course. But be of good cheer. John 16:33, be of good cheer because I have overcome the world that you're having trouble in. I have overcome the world. In the world, which is where you are, you happen to be residing, you have trouble, but be of good cheer. But be of good cheer. But be of good cheer. That's important. Amen? Yeah, and that's a promise from the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I thought we were in Joshua chapter 2. Well, we'll get there. Kind of getting you wound up. Amen? Kind of getting you perked up. Amen? So you seem kind of depressed. I want to get you joyous and thankful and full of the love of God and full of the Holy Spirit. Glad you're here. Amen. Glad you're here. You know, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some. Amen. Some just forsaking it altogether. No, but you want to gather yourselves together because you can encourage one another and build up each other. Amen. All right here. Joshua chapter 2. And Joshua the son of Nun, well, this is the same guy that was in Joshua chapter 1:1. Joshua the son of Nun. And sent Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly. So they're going to spy secretly. Now, last time they sent out 10 guys, 12 guys, you remember? They sent out 12. And 10 of them came back with bad news. So this time they sent two. And they sent two men to spy secretly. Joshua said, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Well, you think, well, my gosh, is that the first place they found to go? Into a brothel? Is that the first place that they found to go? Well, we find that, you remember there was a guy named Simon the leper, right? And Jesus was having dinner at his house, at the Simon the leper's house. And there's a woman in there with a box of alabaster, a box of ointment. She breaks it on Jesus' head. And then you have other people who are observing it. So apparently we got a house full of people, right? So how come we're in Simon the leper's house? Why would we be in a leper's house? I mean, that's probably not the best way. It's like Simon the COVID, you know? And so you're in there in Simon the COVID's house, and you're not, you know, you're not supposed to be there because you could get it. Hope everybody has a mask on. No, Simon the leper was apparently already healed. He was no longer a leper, but he was known. It's like Jeff Flood. Well, do we call him Jeff Flood because, you know, we're expecting a flood? Or maybe he just endured the flood. Maybe he survived the flood. You know, I know he missed the one in 1949. He wasn't here yet. But, you know, there are other floods. So we have Jeff Flood. Well, we had Simon the leper. You know, and this is Rahab the harlot. Well, apparently Rahab was maybe no longer a harlot, necessarily. In fact, you know she ended up in the line of Jesus? You know she ended up in the line of Jesus? You know what? You know, it's pretty amazing, isn't it? So, and here, they went into a harlot's house and lodged there. Well, maybe it's because it was a lodge. You know, I mean, here she is. We're going to find out a little more about this location here in just a minute. So, but here, you know, so, and we know that God used this woman. We're going to find out a little more about it. Amen. So let's look. How many know God can use a harlot? A prostitute. Well, what's a harlot? Yeah. Prostitute. Lady of the night. Lady of the evening. You know, how many of you know God could use you? Go ahead and raise your hand. That's you. Yeah, God can use you. Thank you for that rousing hand raising. Amen. How many know God can use you? Come on, do your exercises at church on Sunday morning. See, God can use you no matter what your circumstance or situation. How many know you came in out of sin? You came into the kingdom of God out of sin. You were wicked and sinful. Amen. But now you're no longer wicked and sinful. Well, I don't know. I've messed up a few times. No, you are no longer wicked and sinful. I'm no longer wicked and sinful. Do I sin from time to time? Yes, I do. Do I get forgiven? I'm already forgiven. I just had to receive it. Okay? That's another point to make. Is that you're already forgiven. You're forgiven from the foundation of the world to from eternity to eternity if you're in Christ. Did you know that? You are forgiven for every sin that you have ever, ever done and will do. But the problem is you live in it when you don't receive forgiveness. He says over in 1 John 1:9 that if we, when we sin, we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That sin is already forgiven. You need to. It's important to you for you to receive it. It's important for you to say. That's why you confess, so you can receive forgiveness. It's important for you to confess so you can receive. I don't worry about that. God already forgave me. No, receive it. Open your mouth and say, "Thank you, Jesus." That punch in the face that I just did when I punched Guy in the face, Father, I thank you, you'll forgive me. I pray he will, won't punch me back. But I pray that I thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. I thank you that you forgive me. Always receive God's forgiveness, will you please? Always receive the forgiveness of God. Don't just, you know, write it off. Well, that was okay, God forgave it. No, He said, receive that forgiveness. He commands you to confess your sin. And that's where you receive, that's where you bring, take the forgiveness to yourself. Huh? Otherwise, I tell you what, your mind will play tricks on you. Yeah, that's where people go. People go, well, I don't know that God forgave me after all. Because things happen to you. Problems and troubles happen to you. And then you want to blame the sin, or you want to blame God. Now, certainly sin does bring its own reward, amen? But you want to bring, you want to tie that to your salvation and your relationship with God. And God said, no, don't do that. God loves you. Even when you've sinned, God loves you. And he wants you to receive that forgiveness. I don't know what this has to do with Rahab, but just, I want you to hear it. Is that God wants you to receive forgiveness from him when you've sinned, and then walk in that forgiveness. You understand? Walk in that forgiveness. Don't walk in, I wonder if God's forgiven me. No. Father, thank you that you've forgiven me. I receive your forgiveness right now. So here they are. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab, and they lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, behold, there came men here tonight, in here tonight, of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to you, which are entered into your house, for they be come to search out all the country. So here already the king, so you got to know that these people are not dumb people. You know, they have a city, funny thing is they have borders. That's funny. You ever thought of that? Having borders would be kind of an odd thing, wouldn't it? To keep people out. It's called, back in those days, it was called a wall. They had a wall around the city. Why'd they do that? To keep people out. To keep people who were coming in, keep them out. Because they might be some of these guys. They might be troublemakers. They might be people who are coming to spy out the city and take your city away from you. You know, you want to tell your legislator about that? Just tell them about the story of Jericho. You know what happened down there? People came in and all of a sudden the walls were gone. And then they ran straight ahead and they took the city from them. See, that's important to know. And on the other token, God was giving them the city. God was taking the city to make it his city. God took that city. You know what? People cannot, if God is going to take your city, just give up. And that's what we're going to find out about Rahab. Rahab's smart. She didn't gather all her armies up to fight against the living God. She said, she packed her bag, called her family, and said, you know what? It's time to change sides. I don't know where Monty went, but it's time to change what he was talking about today. Yeah, Jackie, it's time for these people who are in that shelter, they're figuring out it's time to change sides. It's time to change sides. It's time to walk with God. You know, it's more important for you to change sides right now. There's a lot of things that we need to change sides. I need to change sides. And again, we're not talking about salvation. We're talking about growth. We're talking about discipleship. Because if we resist discipleship, we are also resisting the blessing of God and resisting the ministry of God. If we resist discipleship, see, if you resist, remember Pastor Jimmy was talking about chair five. You know, that chair five, that was discipleship. That's where you're walking by faith and you're not falling back into chair two or chair one. You are resisting the devil. You're resisting sin by faith. Saying, no, the Lord God is in me to will and to do of his good pleasure. Amen. You're growing in the Lord. You're growing in the Lord. And discipleship is hearing the voice of God and it's obedience. It's obedience. But again, it's not obedience unto salvation, like you're coming and going, getting in, getting out, getting in, getting out. No, you're beginning to walk in the power and strength of the living God. You know who you are. You know who you've become. These guys coming into this city know who they are. They know who they've become. And this Rahab, she had heard some things. And here the king, of course, it's his job to protect his city. And he's saying, hey, you may not know, but these guys you just let into your place, they're come to spy out our town and they want to come take it. Well, see, he already knew about it. He already knew about that, these guys coming in. So he's a pretty smart guy. He's got good people out there on the front lines, out there on the city walls. So look there in verse 4. And the woman took the two men and had them and said thus, there came some men to me, she said. She took to these representatives of the king. There came men to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate that when it was dark that the men went out. Oh, they did. I think she put them up. She put them up in the house. But she told these guys from the king, that the men went out of the city. Where the men went, I knew not. Pursue after them quickly, and you shall overtake them. They went that away. You remember those? Yeah, remember the old westerns? You know, they're looking for the bad guys. Hey, did you see any bad guys? Yeah, they went that away. So that's how they do in the Bible. They got that from the Bible. They went that away. So pursue after them quickly, and you shall overtake them, she said. But, verse 6, she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. The stalks of flax. Well, she's got now, she's taken them up there. She hid them under the stalks of flax. Well, what are stalks of flax? Flax is raw material for manufacturing. She's got a flax business. She's got them drying out up there. And you know what? I'm betting if she hid these guys under the stalks of flax, I bet there's a whole lot of it. You know, it's not like you got some for your house, you know, like four or five, you know, bolts of fabric or something, you know, because flax is used to make fabric. So so she hides them under there. There's got to be a lot of it. And I'm sure if the guys come in the house, you know, they're looking, well, yeah, it looks like flax to me. Yeah, so they apparently did not search it. And apparently it was enough to hide two grown men, certainly that much. So she hides them under the stalks of flax up on the roof that are drying out. So I'm considering the fact that she's got business. She's got business going on in that house as well. And she lodges people there. So it's an inn. And then she's got people there. So she's got people there. She's also got business operating out of there. So she's just not, you know, just on barely getting by street. All right, let's keep looking. And the men, verse 7, and the men pursued after them the way that to Jordan and to the fords, and as soon as they which were pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. So in other words, the pursuers left before the pursuees. So the pursuers ran out the gate, they shut the gate behind them. So the gate was shut. And verse 8 says, and before they were laid down, she came up to them up on the roof, and she said to the man, I know that the Lord has, listen, I know. Something she knows. I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. So this is a big verse. He said, I know. So I know these things, that the Lord has given you the land. The terror is fallen upon us, the terror of you. And that all the inhabitants, how many? All of them. All the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. So everybody's scared. She knows that they've been given the land. And everybody's afraid. Verse 10, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now, so this is her testimony. So she's already bought in to this God of the Israelites is God. I don't know if y'all remember Yul Brynner and the Ten Commandments. His God, talking about Moses, His God is God. I love that line. His God is God. So he finds out none of the gods of Egypt can protect him from anything. This is after his son was killed in the last plague. So God has already spoken to Rahab. Rahab has already made this decision. She knew about this coming. She knew about this coming. The people who you minister to at that shelter have seen the worst and they know. You know, atheists believe in God. They're just afraid of Him. Well, I don't know. I don't believe in God. Yeah, I don't think so. You wouldn't be so vehement about not believing in God because you believe He's going to destroy your plan, destroy your agenda. Atheists make great Christians because they know once they've been converted, you can't unconvert them. This lady here had already been prepared for this encounter. Amen? She'd already been prepared for this encounter. So God prepared her to help to help the people of Israel. Set her up. Completely set her up and got her ready to do these things. God's doing that for you. God's doing that for you. He's bringing you into the path, like Monty was talking about, of people. You stand here, you sit here, you are a minister of the gospel. These guys, they were coming to this city to take the city. And as many as would have received the Lord, God would save them. He didn't just save Rahab because, you know, she was a good helper. As many as would have received the Lord would have been saved. God saves everyone who comes to Him. Amen? God saves everyone who comes to Him. David was talking about it a minute ago. You are not predestined to die and go to hell. Your evil neighbors are not predestined to die and go to hell. They're predestined to hear the gospel from you. That's what they're predestined for. And then once they hear the gospel, they're predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus. That's what predestination is. You know that, right? Predestination is once you have the Holy Ghost inside of you, you are predestined, God before ordained, that you would be conformed to the image of His Son. And you begin to look like Jesus. And you just rejoice and thank Him for it. You just rejoice and thank Him for it. He gave you a Bible, you could read it. It'll be transforming you because He's planting seed on the inside. There was a seed planted in this woman. There was a seed planted in her that the God of the Israelites is God. Over in Hebrews chapter 11, 31, Rahab, you may remember this. Rahab is in what we call the Faith Hall of Fame in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 31, all the way down in verse 31. She's in there. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. Well, that's interesting. She perished not with them that believed not. So the only ones that perished are the ones that believed not. Isn't that true? And he said that here. He said the ones that perished not are the ones that believe, the ones that didn't believe not. When she had received the spies with peace. James 2:25 said, likewise also, she's mentioned twice in the New Testament. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. Now, when it says she was justified by works, what it's talking about, the justification was demonstrated. The fact that she loved the people of God. So it's not, she wasn't saved because she did it. She did it because she was saved. Amen. That's what James is talking about anyway. He said faith without works is dead. That faith produces works. The Word of God produces fruit. So God produces His own fruit. In Genesis, He talks about that everything has its seed in itself. People do. Dogs do. Cows do. Plants do. Trees do. They have the seed on the inside of them, the Word of God. Mark chapter 4 said the Word of God is a seed. And it produces whatever it goes inside, it produces. So God's producing seed from seed that's sown on the inside of you. I've got seed on the inside of me. I believe God's producing on the inside of me. Do you? Not me, you. Do you believe that God's producing from the seed that's on the inside of you? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Not, you know, it's not like a good idea. It's the truth. Is God produces from the seed that is indwelling you. All right? I turned the page, didn't I? So in verse 12, now therefore, I pray you, swear to me by the Lord, this is Rahab talking to the spies, after she has told them about all the fear of all the people. Now therefore I pray you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness to my father's house, and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. So, take us with you. So she's saying, take us with you. And verse 14 said, in chapter 2, Joshua, and the man answered her, our life for yours, if you utter not this our business. And it shall be when the Lord has given us this the land that we will deal kindly and truly with you. Now verse 15, then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwells upon the wall. Well, that's another interesting item, is that here they are, they have come into the city, and they went into her house, where her house is right here. If it's on the wall, that means it's close to the... It's certainly on the outside. It faces on the outside because that's where that window is. And she let them down by a cord. But then when they came in, her house is on the wall. Her house is accessible, easily accessible as you come into the city. Her house is a well-known location. So her house is a well-known location. The king is certainly watching who's coming in and out of a place where people coming in and out to lodge. They want to find out who's staying in the Hilton. You know? They want to find out who's staying in the Omni. They find out who's staying in town. This is like the big place in town. You know, it's one good thing about a giant hotel is you can get lost in there. You can hide out. So there they are. And so, but she lets them down out the side, for her house was on the wall. I find that incredible. Her house was in a specific, particular location that was usable for God's people. And then she lets them down on this cord out the wall. And this is, of course, after those guys have gone out looking, right? So she says, verse 16, and she said to them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned. Sounds like she might have done this before. Sounds like she might have known how to take care of her customers, her business associates, in a stealthy fashion, doesn't it? She knew exactly what to do. God sent these guys to the person that he knew would be able to protect and hide them out. Sometimes God doesn't hide you out supernaturally. He just knows who can hide you out. He said, get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. So those guys, remember, they went out and they shut the gate. So those guys are already out trying to find them. And then she lets them down out the side of the wall, down the rope, and then says, go to the mountain and hide there. How long? 3 days. Interesting, 3 days. 3 days just always are turning up in the Scripture. Amen. So until 3 days were accomplished. Just like Jesus was in the tomb. He was in the tomb 3 days and three nights. So she delivered them. Just like I've been delivered. Jesus was in the tomb 3 days and three nights. And he delivered me. These guys were delivered. The people of Israel were delivered. Until the pursuers, and hide yourselves 3 days until the pursuers be returned back to the city. And afterward, you may go your way. And the men said to her, we will be blameless of this, your oath. In other words, this oath is out the window, which you have made us to swear. Behold, when we come into the land, you shall bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which you did let us down by. And you shall bring your father and your mother and your brethren and all your father's household home to you. Pretty good sized house she's got. She's got to bring all of her family in there. Okay? Now she says, bind this line of scarlet thread. So he's got a scarlet thread. He's got a scarlet thread. So the scarlet thread, so you got to find out which, so you can see it. It's hanging out the window. Well, isn't somebody else going to ask that question? I'm sure they did. What's that scarlet thread doing, Rahab, hanging out your window? Because who knows how many days it was before they came back to take the city. And so she's out there, and she hangs a cord out the window, but that cord is going to bring them to the right window. That's a scarlet thread showing that's the window for deliverance. That's the window that you deliver. That's the house that you do not destroy. That's the house you do not destroy. Does that sound like anything you're familiar with? Maybe in the Passover, where they had the blood splashed on the doorpost and on the header of the door, and that the angel of death did not go to that house? Wonderful. So we'll just use that analogy. This red cord is going to save you from death. This red cord is going to save your family from destruction. Amen. Verse 19, and that shall be whatsoever shall go out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head. So everybody stay inside. And we will be guiltless. Whosoever shall be with you in the house, his blood shall be upon our head, if any hand come up be upon him. And if you utter this our business, then we will be relieved of this oath, which you have made us to swear. And she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away. And they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they came and went, and they went to the mountain and abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but they found them not. Verse 23, so the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all the things that befell them. And they said to Joshua, truly, the Lord has delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. So the report, remember they had a bad report the last time they sent spies in, but here this time they had a good report. Remember the two spies came in and said, hey, we're well able to take the country, but the ten said, oh, they're like giants in our eyes. We're like ants in their sight. You know, there's no way we can do that. These guys, they brought in the report and said, they are terrified of us. They are terrified of us. How many know the world is terrified because of you? Amen?
Well, it seems like they just don't like our way.
No, the world is terrified because of you. The world is terrified because they don't know what's going wrong. They don't know if it's global warming. They don't know if it's child trafficking. They don't know. They don't know that it's sin in your heart that's destroying you. It just sounds like nothing. Sin. That can't be it. That can't be it. We just dismiss that. Oh, it can't be sin. It's too much fun. It can't be sin that's destroying. No. Sin has already destroyed you, and Jesus has already made a way for you to be redeemed. Jesus has already made a way for me to be redeemed and to walk in joy and to walk in thanksgiving and walk in peace. Amen? When I walk out of here, I can walk in joy, peace, and thanksgiving and gratitude. I never, never have to be depressed. Sure you do, brother. Things are bad. Things are troubled. No, I don't have to be. I don't have to be. Jesus was never depressed. Well, you know, when he prayed and he knew he was going to go to the cross, he was depressed. No, he wasn't. He said, Father, is there any other way to do this? Nevertheless, your will. Because God's will is the way of God, is the best way for me. God's will is the best way for me. God's will is a blessing to me. It's never not a blessing to me. It may not be the world's will, and the world has a will of its own. But God's will